name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Christ is in our midst.
He is in our fellowship.
The debtor who could not forgive the debt. Therefore the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king who would take account of his servants. The king in the parable is indeed the one who is telling the parable, our Lord Jesus Christ. God who became incarnate, who took on our likeness, and who, as St. Theophylact says, settles his accounts as a good judge of his servants. A servant is brought who owes an enormous amount of money to the king, 10,000 talents. One commentary says that just one talent was the equivalent of a year's taxes at that time. So, and he owed 10,000 of those talents. And in relation to our King and Lord, everyone agrees that we are that servant coming before the King owing much. It is we who have been given so much beyond the ability to repay, and then we are forgiven what we owe more than we can imagine. The servant about to be thrown into prison, entirely justly and justifiably guilty, and he falls down and begs for mercy, for patience, for more time to repay, which he didn't have either the time or the ability to ever repay. And the compassionate king gives him far more than he asks. He complete forgiveness of his enormous, unpayable debt. An extraordinary mercy. And as we know, the forgiven servant immediately goes and seeks out a fellow servant, someone he knows, who owed him a fraction, a pittance, 100 pence of money, and even takes the man by the throat, demanding his repayment. And that guy says to the same words as the forgiven servant says to the king, "Have patience with me and I will pay all." And the forgiven servant, he who has had his own huge debt absolved, shows no mercy, no patience, no consideration to his fellow servant, and has him imprisoned. And which leads to the king's outrage and to the forgiven servant's debt being put back on his head and him being put in prison. And so Christ concludes his parable, "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your heart forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Brothers and sisters, the forgiven servant did not pay that mercy forward. He did not see the connection between the great blessings and mercy in his life and how it should affect his attitude, his treatment, his compassion for others. So the question is, what kind of person is this? What kind of person is this that could on one hand receive such blessed attention and on the other hand treat another person so coldly and indifferently? In our day, this person might be diagnosed with narcissism. Narcissism, a condition of total self-absorption. The condition is named after Narcissus, a mythological Greek youth who became infatuated with his own reflection in a lake. And he did not realize at first that it was his own reflection, but when he did, he died out of grief for having fallen in love with someone that did not exist outside of himself. A Time magazine cover story last year was titled, "The Me, Me, Me Culture," as in me, myself, and I, that nowadays narcissism is growing, even as an epidemic, especially in young people. Now, as Father John Meindorf said in his book on marriage, young people are naturally more self-centered, concerned about their future, their appearance, meeting a mate, and so forth, and marriage and children and a good monastery can overcome that natural self-centeredness. But anyway, the concept of excessive selfishness has always been with us in history. Even the ancient Greece had the concept of as hubris, known as hubris, pride, and indeed continued into Christian theology and spirituality. And it's only in recent times that it has been defined in psychological terms, this self-centeredness. And some people diagnosed with extreme narcissism are called having narcissistic personality disorder, have a sense of entitlement and of self-importance, and demonstrate grandiosity in their beliefs and behavior. They have a strong need for admiration and lack feelings of empathy, of sympathy, of care for others. Our character in this morning's gospel would seem to fit the description. No sense of gratitude or unworthiness for the forgiveness of his great debt. One might even argue that he ran up the debt originally because of his distorted sense of entitlement and lack of care, or a sense of obligation or responsibility to his creditor to pay back that debt. He just let the bill run till it was about to cost him his freedom. And of course, he then showed zero empathy for his brother's small debt or his circumstances, totally self-absorbed. Now, we don't want to preach psychology, and the Christian faith has its own ways in terms of defining spiritual sickness, what we call the passions in the human soul. And simply put, the farther the human soul is from God, the more it falls in on itself. It implodes in pride and self-centeredness. The farther from God, the more totally focused on self. One observer defines narcissism as a dangerous false religion. A false religion whose adherents attempt the impossible. They attempt to sit on their own altars and at the same time kneel in front of them, worshiping themselves. To sit on their own altars and kneel in front of that same altar, worshiping themselves. And this guy calls it a lethal and destructive faith that leads to moral chaos and the breakdown of the created order. One manifestation of this narcissism is the abortion genocide. Narcissists do not recognize that they have boundaries and that others are separate and are not extensions of themselves. Others either exist to meet their needs or might as well not exist at all. Narcissists hold unreasonable expectations of particularly favorable treatment and expect automatic compliance with their expectations because they consider themselves special. Well, we've fallen back into the discussion of psychology again. Our forgiven but unmerciful servant seems to follow this pattern, though. Narcissism displays an enormous self-focus in personal exchanges, and an inability to view the world from the perspective of other people. A denial of remorse, a denial of gratitude. Now, the psychologists argue that narcissism actually develops to hide and mask deep-seated feelings of inadequacy and inferiority. And there's a maximalizing of one's personality to cover one's actual lack of self-worth and inferiority complex. And while you're now busy in your head diagnosing which of your friends and family might fit this diagnosis, let's put all that aside. Our Orthodox faith has its own therapeutic program for healing the human personality. Orthodox spirituality calls us to both a healthy self-affirmation and a healthy humility. Humility. The positive self-affirmation is that we are each of us made in the image and likeness of God, and God became one of us to connect with us and to heal our nature. Our healthy humility is that While we are not special, we could be special. We could be special. We could become a saint. We could become a saint. But we fall short of the glory of God. We have sinned. We have a distorted love. A distorted love that turns into a passion of self-love and lust. But we have been given, brothers and sisters, a great mercy. We have been blessed by God, for which we are not worthy. We have been blessed by other people, for which we are not worthy. A healthy selfishness is to be concerned for our salvation, to be concerned about our soul. And it's interesting that the narcissistic person has a very limited self-knowledge. When St. Anthony came out of seclusion, after years in the desert, they asked him what he had learned in all that time alone seeking God. And he said, I learned that my brother is my life. My brother is my life. I find my meaning, my truth, my salvation in the life of other human beings that are in my life. True self-knowledge leads us to care for others, to see our salvation worked out in our interactions with others. And finally, brothers and sisters, our proper self-image and proper humility will always be mirrored in the face of Jesus Christ. In the face of Jesus Christ. Our true self is in the face of Jesus Christ, which is why we keep his icon ever before us. St. Mark the Ascetic said, when reading the Holy Scriptures, he who is humble and engaged in spiritual work will apply everything to himself and not to someone else. So we are to see aspects of a narcissistic servant from the parable in ourself and not refer to Aunt Millie or whoever, to see that we could be that way if we don't resist and fight our selfish, self-centered impulses. And again, the sad irony of the narcissist is they are sad. Their life is unhappy. And that while being totally self-centered, there's a total lack of real self-knowledge and understanding. The closer we are to God, the more clearly self-aware we are. The more we lose ourselves, the more we find ourselves. He who saves his life will lose it, says Christ. He who loses his life shall save it. And finally, there's the gift in the Church of Confession, leaving you with the words of our Holy Father, St. Cosmas Etolos, equal to the apostles remembered today in the Church, who came out of Philotheo Monastery on Mount Athos and preached to the Greek people and encouraged them in the faith and taught them in the terrible times of the Turkish oppression. St. Cosmas says, if you want to cure your soul, you need four things. The first is to forgive your enemies. First thing, to forgive your enemies. The second is to confess thoroughly. The third is to blame yourself. Forgive your enemies, forgive others, blame yourself. And the fourth is to resolve to sin no more. This is the recipe for the cure of our soul. It begins with seeing the other person, seeing the face of the other, and indeed seeing the face of Christ in the other, being ready to be compassionate, trying to understand them, knowing that we're selfish, knowing that we prefer our own pleasure and our own wishes and our own opinions and our own attitudes and our own feelings, but having to push ourselves, force ourselves into the life of the other and try to give, try to connect, try to care, try to love, want to understand St. Anthony's words, that my brother is my life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to Jesus Christ. Glory.